the beats with just Bowen and Bowie J.
Hello, it is Bowie Jane with Jess Bowen for Babes Behind the Beats. And we are so excited because today we have in studio, in person, because all the restrictions are gone for COVID. We have Laura Escudé, who is a live show designer, has done the live shows for Kanye West, Jay-Z, The Weeknd, Ariana Grande, so many more. She's a certified Ableton trainer and has her own program, Transmute, to teach Ableton. So she's like amazing and she's here.
Oh my gosh, thank you.
Yes. It feels so good to be back in person and like
It's so great. It's like, oh my God, it's like kind of weird too. It's kind of like, oh yeah, like how do I socialize again? Like totally. I don't remember, but hey.
I know. So tell me, you've got such an interesting job being a live show designer. How did you get into that?
Oh my gosh. Well,
and actually explain what that job is and then how you got into it, because not everyone would know.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally. Yeah. So, well, first and foremost, I'm a violinist and music producer, and I started producing and performing electronic music 20 years ago when I was in college, and just got super into the electronic music scene, going to raves, started playing violin over DJ's music. Then I was like, how do I do that myself? Can you teach me? And I got a lot of pushback at the time, and I was like, yeah, I'm just gonna learn how to do this myself. So I taught myself a lot of programs, and namely Pro Tools and Reason and Cubase and Ableton Live, and moved to LA in 2004 and got a job working at this company called M Audio that makes controllers and audio interfaces and keyboards. And it was like basically the first small portable keyboard that you could find, called the Oxygen 8. It was made by M Audio. Pretty much every producer had that at the time. And they were distributing this little known company called Ableton at the time, software program. And so I started learning how to use the software because I was in tech support, and I got people calling like, how do I use this? And I was like, I don't know. I guess I should find out how to use it. So I got super into it. I just delved deep. And then from there, ended up working at Ableton in 2007 and became the first West Coast product specialist for Ableton, and then became the first Ableton certified trainer in 2008, and went off on my own and got a call from Cirque du Soleil, and they said, can you come be the music programmer at our show in Las Vegas? And I said, sure.
Why did you get that call? Is that because you were at Ableton, that you knew how to use Ableton, or was it
separate? Yeah, I think it was like because I was the first certified trainer, and then there weren't a lot of people that were certified at that time, so they were like, we need someone that's a professional. But I had no idea what I was doing in terms of programming a live show. So that really started my career with programming and designing live shows. And, it, you know, programming and designing kind of go hand in hand, and I'll talk about what that means. But essentially it means I am editing and playing back the backing tracks for live concerts when I work with these big name artists, or Cirque du Soleil, or like American Idol just wrapped up doing the season there. So all of the music that the band doesn't play is being triggered by me behind the scenes using Ableton Live, all the backing tracks. So for instance, if the artist wants to remix a song, I will remix the song, create a different feel night after night, slow it down, speed it up, create a transition to another song. So it's basically like production, but for a live atmosphere.
Yeah, so on the fly, you're doing it all.
Yeah, it's like, well, during the show, it's, you know, it's all set. But like before the show, we will sit down, the artist, musical director, the team, creative team, and decide, okay, well, there's this moment the artist needs to go change. What kind of music can we have here? And maybe it sounds like this, and maybe this person is dancing on the stage and it needs to do this. You know, so it's really just working with the entire production to make sure that the show is being represented musically. And then also that extends into things like vocal effects. So I've done a lot of auto-tune for artists on their live shows, been in the background making them sound good, doing delays and pitch shifting and distortion. And that was a big part of my role with Kanye, was doing all of his vocal effects. And
so you're like a sound engineer as well, right? Kind of? Is that like...
Yeah, it's like, a version of sound engineer. But people say, oh, well, so you mix the in-ears or the which are headphones, right, for live performance. I'm like, no, that's a completely different role. What I do is I deliver all of the tracks and I deliver all of the vocal effects and, you know, drum sounds or whatever it is to the mix engineer, to the front of house engineer, then they mix it. They mix the in-ears, the monitor engineer mixes the in-ears, and front of house mixes it for the audience.
Right.
Wow. So I basically just work in cooperation, like the glue between all of these different roles, between creative, the artist, the musical director, the band. Also, I'm triggering things like clicks for the band that only the band can hear in their in-ears. And for some artists, they forget where to come in. So I'll have like a chorus, 2, 3, 4.
Oh, that's
or
great.
Don't sing, 2, 3, 4. Or, you know, big break, 2, 3, 4. Or whatever like they want. Or I just put it in their ears to kind of save them from embarrassment. Because
do you specifically that for the whole group, or can, like, say the drummer was like, oh, can you give me a count in to this breakdown part? Can you just do that for just his ears?
Or? Yeah. So, well, I deliver that to the monitor engineer,
right?
And the monitor engineer decides who gets to hear that. So,
got it.
Yes.
So,
yeah, it's all custom stuff. It's like the artist wants to hear certain things, or oftentimes the artist wants to hear like their lead vocal in their ears because, you know, you might forget what the lyrics are.
Yeah.
Right. So if they're hearing them in their in-ears, and then, you know, they might forget a little bit, and then they, oh, I know what this line is. Of course, there's also sometimes teleprompters on stage and things like that.
Right.
Just safety nets. And then also delivering what's called time codes. So when you go to a big show and you see the chorus night after night at an Ariana show, for example, the chorus of that song is going to play the same video or do the same lighting. So for these big shows, everything is very programmed so that it's the same experience. I mean, of course, it varies from night to night, but it's all synced up through something called time code that I'm delivering to the lighting people and the video people. And then they are receiving that into their world. And then that's triggering the correct lighting and video cues. So it's a really
that's
it's
so
kind of
much.
It's a big it's big deal that
big
a lot of people don't know that it even exists.
That's a huge responsibility.
Yeah.
Like I'd be scared of pressing the wrong cue, or like,
or just things not happening and it's not even your fault. Like,
well, that's definitely
I was gonna ask, has that happened? Because I mean, with I'm sure the amount of shows you've done that you've done this for, I'm sure there's had to have been one or two mishaps.
Well, it's mostly just a communication thing. I mean, I feel like I have really good communication. I'm always like trying to talk to everyone and make sure that everyone's on the same page. But oftentimes, if there's no real leadership or a lack of leadership or not good leadership, then people are like, what are we doing? And some people of the team have certain ideas about how things should go, and then other people have other ideas. And so getting everyone on the same page before the show is really crucial, because sometimes we'll be in the middle of the show and like the artist is like, ah, let's do this. And everyone's scrambling to, you know, make that happen in the moment, which is also fun, though. It's like it's never a never dull moment, basically. Yeah.
So did you teach yourself time code then, or that was the program that you were using?
Well, so time code is like a piece of audio that delivers data, like information to the rigs of the lighting and video.
I see.
Yeah. So they're actually programming it on their end. I'm not programming what happens when they're doing that, but I'm sending them so that, like, say 1 minute into the time code is the chorus. Well, when they receive 1 minute into the time code, that fires off their whiz bang, whatever it is.
Oh, I see. Yeah, because you've got to coordinate lighting with the lighting, and my God, you're not doing the lighting as well.
No, my God.
Because like, I'm sweating.
Shows, on these big shows, there's a role for everyone, you know. But in smaller shows, and this kind of segues nicely into, you know, my educational stuff, you know, I worked on these big shows and I saw an opportunity to help independent artists with their shows because of all the knowledge that I gained from working with these big artists over the years and touring. And I've taught through my Transmute program a lot of independent artists to do their own lighting, to do their own video, to have it all sync up. So basically, it's like training someone to be the technician, the artist, you know, to bring everything on stage.
So
that's
cool.
What I do as an artist. I'm a one-woman show. I have I call myself a one-woman orchestra. I'm a future classical artist. I play violin and do electronic music, and I just released an EP called Enoughness. Shout out to my EP.
Oh,
my
yeah. Baby.
Everybody gotta check it out. Yeah.
Check it out. Yeah. So, you know, as an artist, I have been performing myself just alone for the last 20 years. And not most artists can't afford someone like me to go on tour with them, right? Because it's expensive. It's a person to carry around with you. You got to get their flight. You got to get their hotel room. So I've been training artists how to do it all themselves through my Transmute program. So that's been
so
a really
cool.
big passion of mine. Yeah.
Well, no, that's great because, yeah, like they, like you said, you can't afford to bring you out. And also, like, yeah, then you can't afford to take out a lighting technician, too, or, like, someone to do, like, all that stuff. So you're teaching them, hey, all in one, you can get. Because that's what actually with Tessa Violet, one of our tours that we did, she had, and I wonder if she was using Transmute, but, like, she had Ableton and the lighting rig lined up to where you just press play. And then her lights are going off. And you don't need the lighting engineer. You don't need an actual lighting engineer then.
No.
Because you just have it already set up. And it's literally just getting played through.
Totally. Yeah. At smaller levels, for sure. I mean, once you get to a certain level, then you start, you know, being able to afford having a crew and having people on tour with you and having a technician on stage. And that's amazing, too. But a lot of artists aren't there yet.
Right.
I want to know how you got to work with Kanye West. Like, how do you get big breaks like that? First, you went to Cirque du Soleil. Was it because you were bouncing? Basically, you'd done that. That's obviously big. So,
right? Yeah. That everything at that point was sort of by fluke, random, or the universe brought it to me. I don't know. but yeah. So I worked for Cirque du Soleil for 4 months. I moved to Vegas. Worked on their show. It was a great learning experience for me. Came back in 2009. I was, you know, I had my own company. It started my first company then. I was just doing a lot of consulting for different brands. I had been in the MI industry, the musical instruments industry. I was a fixture at NAMM doing all of the demos and things like that. And companies were hiring me. And so I would go to all of the stores in LA, and one of those stores, West LA, which doesn't exist anymore. But I went to West LA Music, and or maybe it does, actually. I don't know. I haven't heard about it in a while. I don't think it does. Anyway, West LA Music was like Guitar Center before Guitar Center came in and just
took over.
Yeah. Shout out Guitar Center, though. I mean, they've given me love. But yeah, so there was a salesperson there, and he was like, yeah, I got this, you know, call from Kanye's engineer.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, this guy, Anthony Kilhofer. Shout out Anthony Kilhofer. And Anthony was, like, working on the Glow in the Dark tour, and so I went to the studio, and he was like, yeah, I'm trying to figure out, you know, how to use Ableton and use it for live performance. So I was showing him, and you know, sort of got to the point where, like, he was ready to retire from the road. He was having a kid and got married. And it wasn't that year that this happened, but it sort of came back around 2 years later because I was touring with another band at that time. And so they asked me, hey, can you come out on this tour? And I was like, oh, my God, I cannot believe that I have this other thing booked. And it was for an amazing artist, and I was playing in the band, and it was wonderful, but it was also like I feel like I'm missing like the opportunity of a lifetime because I had already committed. So 2 years later, long story short, found myself in the room again. They were doing this show for South by Southwest. This was in 2011. I literally got thrown into the fire. it was crazy because it was all of good music, like Kanye's labels. It was literally everyone was there, and they had a marching band on stage. And I just remember it was just wild. The stage was like shaking, and I was just freaking out. Like, I'm going to get fired, you know? like, I don't know. So everyone was just trying to figure it out. But, you know, I held on, and I gradually added more and more responsibility over the years or over the actually couple of months there, and showed what I could do. As I got more comfortable with the role, I was like, by our third show, I was like, hey, Kanye and team, I've done these string arrangements for your song. Would you like to use them? And they ended up using them for the Dark Fantasy tour, the intro of that entire tour.
Dang, yeah.
So his Coachella show in 2011 was my string arrangements in the beginning of the show. And so that's cool.
Awesome.
'Cause I was like, okay, I want to like show them that I can do all multifaceted. I can do all these different things. So yeah, that started a crazy journey, that basically went to 2018. So it was quite some
time.
So
was it like a chain reaction once you started working with Kanye, then the other gigs just lined up quickly? Like, were you?
Yeah, I think once I started working with him, during my downtime, I would get from him, because he didn't actually tour that much. Mm-hmm. I would get calls from different artists, and I, of course, toured with them. Mostly, you know, it wasn't a ton. I mean, I mostly would work on shows and then pass it off to someone else. So I had started my company, Electronic Creatives, around the same time I started working with Kanye, or a little bit before that. And so I started training people to go out on the road and do the playback, as it's called. So I would like design shows, like, for instance, Porter Robinson was one of my clients, and worked with him on like translating his album Worlds into a live performance that he could he was moving from DJing to performing live on stage. So I helped transition him. And then, you know, just other artists, I would help get them off the ground, and then I would put someone else on the tour to actually go and tour with them.
Oh,
so
wow.
That was that started, you know, my company, and really that's been my model with that. So we build gear for artists and then put technicians and engineers on the road to work with the artists. But yeah, so that, you know, it kind of is crazy, but I ended up doing a tour with Miguel for a year as his DJ and playback engineer. So I was opening for him and DJing with him.
Oh, my God.
That's huge, yeah.
Which is awesome. That was 2016. And then Iggy Azalea and, you know, a bunch of different artists, like, throughout the years that I got a chance. Demi Lovato, you know.
Wow.
It's like, yeah. So it definitely was, like, a chain reaction. And I was, like, in the mix. And so it's been super fun.
Are you trying not to tour as much? Are you trying to mostly stay at home base? And like you said, that's why you trained kind of all these other people to do that job.
Yeah. So I actually had a massive health breakdown in 2016, which helped me to create the Transmute program. I'll talk about that more in a minute. But I'd done three different shows with three different artists in three different cities over three different days. It was like Iggy, Kanye,
oh my
Miguel.
God.
And 3 days in a row. It was like,
yeah, it was
one
like,
show, fly to the next.
Yeah,
the next.
It was like pretty much like that. Maybe like one day in between one of them. But like, I remember the last two shows were like back to back. It was like Kanye's Pablo release at Madison Square Garden one night. And then it was Miguel with The Weeknd at the Forum in LA the next night. And, you know, I was just burnt, and my body was just like, hey, you need to take a break. So I ate something that just really disagreed with me, and ended up in the hospital. The doctors never could really figure out what it was, but they were like, it's either E. coli or salmonella or something like that. But I was in the hospital for like 21 days.
Oh,
whoa.
Yeah. I was really sick. Like, I.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm so much better. I mean, I'm great now, but it was just the catalyst for me to like really look at my lifestyle and look at the way that I was living and change, because I was burning the candle at both ends. My mom would always tell me, like, you need to slow down, because I'm a doer and I'm an achiever kind of person. I'm like, I gotta do all the things, and I always had FOMO, you know, I need to be everywhere and everything to everyone, right. And so I started to, you know, I stepped back from the touring then, and I also just, you know, as an artist, like, I'm fulfilled by doing my own art and creating my own music and then collaborating with people on music. And like, my joy is like when I'm in the studio or when I'm performing myself. And so, you know, I love working with other artists, but at the same time, it doesn't really feed my purpose necessarily. So that's why I created Transmute as a way to help independent artist to like do what I do as an artist. And that was like the outlet for that. And also there's a self-care element of transmute, and we have like meditation, we've got creative empowerment classes and workshops.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah. So I just wanted to bring like a holistic presence to the world of music, because oftentimes it's just party, party, party. Yeah. And that's how we deal with stress. And it's not like, okay, let's take a deep breath.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I wanted to ask you, so for people who may not understand what a day on tour might look like for you, like what time do you start and what time do you end and what's in between?
Yeah, so I mean, generally for me, I'm lucky. I don't have to like quote unquote show up until like midday or so on tour. Generally when we arrive to a new city on the bus, it'd be me on a bus with 10 other guys.
Jess knows about that life.
Definitely know that life.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you know, they're my bros. It's all good. But it wears on you after a while. You're just like, yeah. I, of course, toured with many amazing guys that supported me and helped me, and I'm super thankful for that. Rolled in on the tour bus with all these guys, and oftentimes they would need to go in and start, you know, hanging the PA and setting and the carpenters and the whole tour, like the other 150 people that are on the tour, they're all setting things up. So my job was more chill in that way, because I literally can't do anything until it's all set up in there.
Right.
For the most part. So then I would roll in, you know, early afternoon, set up my stuff. We would sound check, sometimes with the artist, sometimes not, and then do the show, and then go back to the bus, or depending on if we had a day off, go to the hotel, and then basically Groundhog Day every day.
From there on.
Yeah. And you like wake up and you don't know what city you're in, because after a while you're just like, I don't know, it's just another stadium.
Yeah.
Or like whatever you're playing in.
I understood why some artists will like call out the wrong name of the, you know,
wrong like city. Like you're in like Oklahoma City and you're like, what's up, Phoenix? And you're like, wait, where are we?
That was the Pink documentary, and she said she never says the city name now, because she said, I think she said Phoenix.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah. She said Phoenix, and they were in, like, I don't know.
Somewhere
in California or something. Yeah. But because it is. It's Groundhog Day. You wake up, and you do, like, you're just like, everything starts to look the same, and you don't know what day it is. Like, it could be the weekend, it could be a week, you don't know.
Totally, yeah. So just, I love that. Like, just omit anything that could be specific to that day.
Yeah.
Wow. So that's cool. So what do you have coming up now? Now that we're out of COVID and you've got your own music, obviously, as well. But so what's your plan for the next couple of years?
Yeah. So, I just released my EP, Enoughness, which I'm really excited about. I wrote it during the pandemic, and it was very much a way for me to express some of the transformation that I went through. It was really a great time for me. I mean, it was also difficult, obviously, for a lot of people. But for me, it really allowed me to like heal a lot of stuff that I was working through, especially in terms of like body image and the music industry and diet culture and all of these kinds of things that I've been taught from an early age. And so I just like went all in on my healing and like completely like transformed my mindset around that stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, which has been really, really amazing for me. And I feel like a free person, because I think before I was always like, you know, obsessed with that kind of stuff. And like being a certain way and to be accepted, you know, to be a star in the industry and whatever.
Yeah, like, it's true. It's driven into us.
So. It really is. It really is. And so I just feel so much more free, and I just did a lot of healing around that. And that's what the Enoughness EP is about us all being enough. No matter what the diet culture, no matter what the industries tell us what we need to look like, especially as women from a young age, we're taught like, okay, you need to act a certain way and look a certain way.
Yeah, totally.
And we're not that way. We're not all the same, like cookie cutter. Like the average size of a woman in America is like size 16 or something like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
And like we're just seeing all of these sample sizes. Luckily now, like, things have opened up a lot, and I'm just seeing so much inspiration out there. Women, they're just like, I'm being myself. I'm living my best life.
Yep.
I love it too. Yeah. So that's been great for me. I wrote the EP as just like an ode to self-love to myself. And there's like a song called I Love Me on there, and there's like a mantra on it. which I'm really excited about. And I did some like videos around it. And yeah, so I released the EP.
So were you
2 months ago?
Were you? What are you going to gig tour with it, or you're not sure? What's the plan with all that?
I'm trying to figure that out. To be honest, like I just actually played a show in Costa Rica, which was my first show.
Oh, what? That was your first shows in Costa Rica?
I know.
Great.
I was at a retreat. Yeah, it was great.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. Definitely like have gotten more into the health and wellness space, and like before COVID I had booked several retreats to perform at, so like that's kind of the lane I'm going for now.
Yeah.
Is like performing at retreats and giving like experiences for people, as well as doing things that also have like crowd participation, or allow people in the group to like experiment with my technology. And I really like view technology as a way to allow people to overcome limiting beliefs about themselves. So like, for instance, something like AutoTune is a tool that people can use to express themselves and be more emotive. And before I started working with Kanye, I was like, oh, that's a crutch that people use to just be able to sing, and it's not like a real, like they're not real singers. But when I started working with him and I saw the way that he was able to express himself and the way that artists are able to express themselves using the tool, I just became a believer, because it's all about the self-expression, right?
Yeah,
it's
definitely
all about getting out there. I don't care how you're doing it.
And it's a flavor, it's a sound.
It's like a sound. Yeah. 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 So
it became trendy.
Yeah, it did. A little too much at that time, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, so making music, I did a lot of live streaming and a lot of just like online stuff over the last year. I'll continue to do that. But
and what about Transmute? How do people get involved with that if they're interested?
Yeah, so on my website, there's information about the Transmute Accelerator, and we have a session in July and August of this year, 2021. And it is, yeah, it's open for enrollments.
Cool. And how long is the course?
So it's 8 weeks.
8 weeks.
8 weeks to build your show. And so we work every week, and it's like, seriously, it's the most ninja stuff that you can find out there about live performance in Ableton.
I love this. And I love 8 week courses. Like I want to, I don't want a 3 hour session. I want like it to keep going.
Yeah. So, yeah. And so, yeah, we really support the artists. And then we have a live stream festival at the end. So everyone gets to perform.
Oh, wow.
We've got like 30, 40 hours of video content of just like all of my ninja tricks in there. So it's
great.
Really fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so awesome.
And is it in person, did you say, or is it?
It's online.
Oh, yeah. It's online. Okay, mm-hmm, cool. Mm-hmm. So the show, then how do people do the show at the end? Or it's going to be virtual.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. 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 So when the pandemic hit, I had already built Transmute as an online program. So I just kind of pivoted into that and running that. And so we did that throughout the pandemic, and it really saved us, because it gave us a purpose. You know, we're like
Thank
showing
God.
Up,
yeah.
We're all, you know, nerding out and hanging out. So it was really fun. Yeah.
Great. That sounds fascinating.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, seriously, thank you so much for being here. You are awesome. I want to take this course, because I feel like I need to learn how to use Ableton and be better at making a show happen.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, it is really fun, and the people that have gone through it at the end, it just blows my mind to see the transformation that they've made, because some people have signed up at the beginning and they're like, I barely know how to do anything. By the end, they're like live looping and doing vocal effects and like playing crazy effects on their instrument and like just triggering video and lighting.
Dude,
and
we really should do
We really should. I mean, this is a skill I feel like I need to have. I'm a drummer, but I think, you know, a lot of times it comes as a package. People are looking for drummers that can do playback. A lot of times, a lot of artists I play with are like, can you do playback?
Oh, really?
And but for me, it's more of a, you know, just pressing play. Like I'm more so just like, the tracks are here and I just press, you know, the space bar and I'm like, cool, it's playing. I don't have the, like, you know, you've got like these controllers that you use and things that are like fancy, you know what I mean? Things that are probably make it so much easier than me having to like turn around and press, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, as a drummer, you need a foot controller.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, instead of like, just like, hey, let me do that real quick.
Yeah.
So clearly, got to take your course.
heck yeah. We it's super nerdtastic.
Yeah, we love it.
Well, for everyone who's listening, can you give us your like Instagram or Twitter handles, whatever you're most active on, so people can follow you?
Sure. Instagram, Laura Escudé, LauraEscudé.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. And then everyone needs to check out your EP, Enoughness. We will definitely post about that too. But again, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is super fun.
Yeah, thank you.